This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Love, good afternoon to you, Andy.
And good afternoon to you, Gazman.
And we are, this is our garden, isn't it?
It is our garden.
It's your garden as well. And we've got plenty of things to have a chat about today because you might think winter's the time to sit back and cuddle up by the fire and the cat, but no, there's plenty of things to do in the garden as well. Now, we've got things going on in my garden. I've started pruning and lots of weeds. Lots of weeds. They're doing very well.
Yep.
We're also going to look at bare rooting.
Ooh.
That's putting plants in that are bare rooted.
Yes.
Very nice. And what's happening in your garden, Andy?
Weeds as well. But my partner, I set up a pallet, you know, a wooden pallet they carry boxes on with a forklift.
Yep.
But instead of having it horizontal, have it vertical and filled it with soil. And so the slats at the front have planted plants in there. So my partner's just planted a whole lot of herbs in that.
All right. What did you fill the pallet with?
It's enriched potting mix.
Actually keep the dirt in because it would just...
Oh, there's MDF on the back.
All right, yeah.
And it's sort of like a Hessian material lining the inside and then holes in the Hessian material.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Very effective.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what sort of herbs did you put in that one?
Just the run-of-the-mill herbs, parsley, coriander, basil, I think.
So you're calling your partner run-of-the-mill?
Run-of-the-mill. No, not at all. He's not at all.
Good to hear. That sounds great. And it'd be in a sunny spot, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's a north-facing position. Needs to for herbs and stuff, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Right, in my little herb garden in my kitchen.
Yes, on the windowsill.
I've got one of those self-watering pots.
Okay.
Quite a long one. And the chives are doing really well.
Yep. Still no parsley?
No parsley.
No parsley. No, it didn't eventually do it.
No. So I've put some... I've forgotten the name of the herb. But you put it in Asian...
Basil?
No.
Topazil? Coriander?
Coriander, that's Yay. It. Thank you for helping me with my... blonde moment. So I'm hoping I'll get something from that.
Yeah.
We'll keep trying.
Question for you. Do you prefer to grow from seed or from seedlings?
Usually it depends on my budget at the time.
Yeah.
Because seeds are by far more cheaper.
Yeah.
Very much cheaper.
Yeah.
And the little packet that I've got of the chives is like about 1,000 chive seeds.
Seeds in there. Yeah.
So they won't all grow. But you just throw a whole heap in.
Yeah.
And cross your fingers. And
with the parsley.
Well, I got no parsley.
Well, maybe seedlings for parsley, seeing the seeds didn't work.
Right, yes. And that's what I do, especially in the veggie patch.
Mm-hmm.
If I've got a particular tomato that I want to grow.
Yeah.
Like a cherry tomato, which I find very easy to grow and quick to harvest and all that sort of thing. I usually get the seedling itself. So it's... it's a bit more guaranteed that there will actually be a plant there.
Yeah. We have alyssum, which is going bananas at the moment.
Oh, it goes everywhere, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've been clearing it out like a weed in the front garden, actually.
Yeah. It is getting to the point of almost being borderline weed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we have those white pebbles in the backyard, but the alyssum is just growing out of those. So I prefer the alyssum over the white pebbles. Yes. I'm not a fan of them.
Sorry to alienate half the audience there, but they just get
to me
everywhere.
It's a bit, I don't know, kitty litter or pet cemetery or something.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the weeds always grow through it.
Yep.
It's supposed to be a thing that stopped the weeds, but it doesn't.
Well, growing out of the white pebbles, we have alyssum, of course. There's a carrot growing in them.
A carrot?
A carrot. I don't know where it came from. There's a parsley plant and also two yellow pepper plants. right. Yellow capsicum.
I think someone's
just growing out of nowhere.
I think someone's thrown the vegetable scraps over it.
Well, I was planting around that area, so you know, when I was watering, maybe some seeds went through and went on to the one carrot.
One carrot. One carrot. Yeah, don't. Not exactly a Sunday roast, is it? Right.
No.
Right. Well, in my garden, obviously the weeds have been doing gangbusters. It's just out of control. So I'm having a clean sweep of the. I'm about halfway through the front garden now with weeding it.
Okay.
Most weeds you can just pull out, and some are runners, some are single weeds. You just, you know.
So by the time you get to the end, it'll be time to start again.
Like painting the Sydney Harbour. It'll be springtime. But the oxalis is an absolute killer. It has so many ways of reproducing.
I'm not familiar with oxalis. Can you describe it?
It has a little clover-like leaf.
Okay, I think I know the one.
It grows a bit tall.
Yep, and it has a yellow flower.
Gorgeous yellow flower. You think, oh, that's nice. And if you drive up the Hume Highway, you can see whole fields of it.
Oh.
It's just amazing. It has a reasonably... It's just starting to flower now, actually. That's why I'm sort of getting into it as much as I can at the moment.
Yeah.
Got a drift of it that I've poisoned twice.
Okay.
And it's still going.
Yeah.
It's wilted a little.
Uh-huh.
But, oh, my God.
But ways to stop it coming back is when it does flower, get rid of the flowers, because that's where the seeds come from and that's how it reproduces.
Right. Well, there's actually another way it reproduces as well, and there's a seed or a little nut at the bottom root.
Okay.
It has a long tap root, about as long as your finger.
Yep.
And at the end of it is a little nut which is not very firmly attached to the plant.
So when you pull out the plant, the nut stays in.
Exactly.
And then it shoots out another.
And plant. Then it goes in even more so. So what I'm doing, and it's absolutely tedious stuff, and it won't get rid of it completely, but it will minimise it. I have to dig deep and see if I can get that little nut out as well.
Yeah.
Because it is just insidious. It just goes everywhere and it takes over. Did I tell you about the upside down ranuncula I planted?
No.
No.
That's a new one. You did say you planted something upside down.
Yeah, and it was a ranunculus. Because when I was weeding, I thought, oh, this is not a weed. And I actually dug it up, and it was the ranunculus. It was one that was, I dug it up. And what had happened, it's growing quite well. It's quite healthy, but there's a little U-turn at the bulb.
So it's a bulb, is it?
It's a bulb.
Okay.
It's a claw-like bulb. It's quite an unusual-looking bulb, actually. Looks like a sort of a hand. Okay. You know, like those 1960s chairs that were a hand?
Oh, yeah.
It looks like the mini version of that, the size of your thumbnail. And, it grows, it just did a U-bend and grew up. So I've popped it back in the soil, and it's doing well.
Good. So, does it flower?
Oh, yes. Got what a are gorgeous the flowers? Flower. It's they sometimes red, sometimes yellow. It just depends on the luck of the draw. And quite a full flower. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be quite pretty, too. I'm looking forward to it.
Springtime flower?
Springtime, yes. It's one of those ones. So, yes, I think we go to Blondie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That plant was going to come up one way or another. Blondie here on Joy 94.0.
You are on our garden.
With Andy Kay.
And the Gazman.
And the Gazman. look, we didn't thank them before, but a big thank you to the Saturday Magazine team.
Do a sterling job as always.
And also, if you want to get in touch, you can SMS 0427-JOY949. You can email onair@joy.org.au or call the front desk 1300-JOY949. And while we're not on air, you can contact us. How, Gazman?
Through the email, and that's ourgarden@joy.org.au. So it's ourgarden, all one word. Let us know what's the issue in your garden.
Yeah.
And we'll give you a bit of a help with it.
See if we can help. We do have a listener issue coming up soon.
Right. That was Paula, wasn't it?
Yes. Paula in Parkville.
With pruning. Paula
pruning.
Parkville pruning. I once got a friend called Prunella. Okay. We're going to talk about bare rooted, and we're talking about trees.
Trees.
We're talking about roses.
Uh-huh.
And that sort of thing, because they're in the shops at the moment. They're in the some of the supermarkets, the generalised hardware stores and nurseries, obviously.
So why do they come bare-rooted?
Well,
that means not in soil, right?
Not in soil. Sometimes they're in a bit of sawdust.
Yeah.
Just to protect the root system themselves. Mm-hmm. But you think of transporting a plant in a pot that you'd need to have watered.
Yeah.
It's obviously more difficult.
Yeah.
And so from the nursery, they can just grab the plant, put a bit of sawdust around it, bag it, and it can be sent off.
Okay.
And it arrives in the shop. So it's much...
So portability is the main...
Portability.
Motivator.
And because it's winter, hibernation, and the plant doesn't need the water for... It can live without it for like
so it's dormant, basically.
It's dormant, yeah. So it's only the dormant plants that are the bare-rooted ones.
Okay.
The evergreens and that sort of thing. So I mean, they look a bit tedious and boring. So they haven't got that sort of what the real estate people call street appeal.
Okay.
But you certainly, it's a lot cheaper because of that, those transport issues we've just mentioned. Obviously, it's winter, so they've dropped their leaves and all that sort of thing. Now, you can actually get them bundled up and sent out to your home. You can get them online.
Okay.
So it's a cheaper way again. I prefer to go into a shop.
Yeah.
See what you're getting.
Yeah.
Sort of like buying shoes. You know they fit.
Yep.
You know the ones you're getting. Now, as they don't need the potting mix, I mentioned they transport a lot quickly, but they obviously are a full feeding plant. They're not sort of stunted growth or anything. The roses are probably the best ones that we know as the bare-rooted plants, but a lot of ornamental trees and fruit trees are also in the bare roots.
Okay.
And you can get some vines as well. Now, while they're called bare-rooted, they usually have some sort of protection around the root system. As I said before, it's usually sawdust or in a plastic cover or hessian. Sometimes potting mix, but usually just a bit of sawdust because it's cheaper.
Yep.
Now, to actually plant one, there's a little bit of preparation needed, and like many, you dig a hole.
Good start.
It's got to be about twice the size of the root ball that you've got.
Okay.
Now, make sure it's in a reasonably well-drained area. Otherwise, you're just going to have a sort of like a bucket hole of water when you plant
a swamp.
A swamp, indeed, yes. Now, preparing the plant, take the plant out and check it for any damage. And if necessary, prune some damaged roots. But don't prune off any pollinating shoots if you have a fruit tree that's multi-grafted. Now, with preparing the plant, don't trim the roots if they're not damaged.
Okay.
Right. You can trim the top by all means and trim that back a fair bit. That helps the plant to grow, but don't do the roots too much. So, now, you've got to get the depth right. Now, use a stake or a spade and lay it across the top of the planting hole as a guide. So, you sit the plant on the same level in its new site as it was before it was dug. So, if you get the plant and you find out where its soil level is,
yeah,
and put your spade across the ground level,
mm-hmm,
and then hold it over the hole.
Okay.
Right? Now, that'll give you an idea of where the plant needs to go. Now, what you need to do then is to make a little pyramid in the hole and spread the roots over that little pyramid.
Oh, okay.
And that will help the roots spread.
Okay. So,
and that'll give the plant a much better base to grow from. Mm-hmm. If you just pop it straight in, it'll go down straight down, and it won't spread the roots out.
Yeah.
So if you build this little pyramid at the bottom and spread the roots out over the pyramid and then backfill in.
Okay.
You've made the pyramid, you've put the plant on the pyramid, put a bucket of water in, and that will help the plant get over the shock of being into the ground from...
Buried.
Yeah. No, it's, but so that will help it, and then backfill the soil in.
Okay.
So you've watered it down deep.
Yep.
And then backfill the hole in, and...
It's a good tip.
Yeah, and then once you've done that, water on top. Now, if you want to put some fertilizer in, do not put the fertilizer in the hole. You will burn the roots.
Okay, so spread it on the top after you've filled
in
the hole.
Spread it on the top after you've filled in the hole with a mild fertilizer. If you have a strong one, like horse manure or something,
yep,
you'll burn again.
Okay.
So a slow release, like a seaweed or a slow release beaded one, is fine.
Okay.
Often you don't even need a fertiliser.
Mm-hmm.
Because
and
it's dormant.
Also watering twice, I guess that gets rid of any air holes, air pockets in the soil after you've filled it in.
Definitely need it. Yeah, because you need to tamp the soil down. You can do that with your foot or your hand. Just make sure it's reasonably firm. and the plant is standing upright.
Okay.
Nothing worse than a leaning tower of Pisa rose bush. Okay, and that should do it. That should do it because it's a reasonably cheap and easy way, and by springtime, you'll have a lovely tree or rose bush growing.
Fabulous.
So you can do it with the lollipop type rose with the single stem.
Single stem, or ones that
or
are
the
more bushy
rose.
Ways.
No. Yeah. Okay, we've got a listener issue, and this comes from Paula in Parkville, very nice part of town. And what was her issue with the roses?
She usually gets someone else to come in and prune the roses, but she wants to have a go herself this year. So how does she go about it?
Very brave of you, Paula. Well done. Now, both Andy and I are old hands at pruning, aren't we? I have so many roses in my garden, which is obviously inherited. A couple of passed.
Yes, they do.
A couple went when I extended the house.
Okay.
And a couple of just thought, no, that's it. I've had enough.
Old age.
Old age.
Yeah.
Yes, or climate or proximity or shade or whatever they want to do. So, okay, what do we do with the pruning? We need some clean, sharp secateurs. And usually you chop about 20 to 40% of the bush. Would you agree with me on that one?
Yeah, yeah. Or I usually go about to a third.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's in that range. 20 to 40%, I guess.
Right, yeah, okay. So we're in agreement.
Yep.
Right. Now, you've got to find where your main stems are and sort of follow those and trim the lower ones off completely so you've got them growing more up towards the top and find out where you've got about two or three nodules. Now, these little nodules are on the stem. They're where the leaves and the branches grow out from. If you look on the stem quite closely, there's a nodule sort of, some goes in one direction, others go in another direction.
Mm-hmm.
Choose the outward pointing nodule and clip just above it. Not on it, not too much above it, but just above it.
Okay.
Because if you go too high, you'll get dead growth coming back. If you go too close to that nodule, sort of right on the nodule, you've stuffed up the nodule.
Yeah,
basically.
There's nothing to grow.
There's nothing growing there. Need to clear out the centre of the bush. Sorry, girls, that's what you need to do.
Yeah, all inward-growing branches, trim them off.
Yep, and also any crossover branches. Make a choice and have one of them, usually the one that's growing outwards. Now, the reason for the cutting out the centre bit is because you need plenty of light coming through, plenty of air coming through, and that gets rid of disease and that sort of thing. Unless you've got a lollipop bush, which is the one stem and the big round ball on the top. So that's the basics with pruning.
So when do we prune a rose?
When it stopped flowering.
Yeah, I'm see, pruning, mine's still flowering.
There's a couple of mine that stopped flowering. I've pruned about two or three now and into it.
Yeah, I think I'll wait a month. I usually wait till the end of July.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so because I've got that damn many of them, I'm sort of doing...
Ongoing.
Ongoing,
yeah.
Yeah, sort of like the weeding. So actually, as I go through the front garden, I'm finding as the weeds go, I trim a rose bush at a time.
So, okay. Sort of so, Paula, hopefully that helps. And also, we just want to mention our podcaster.
Who does a fantastic job. Thank you so much, Hannah.
Hannah.
Our lovely Hannah indeed. And if you want to email us, where do they go, Andy?
You can go to ourgarden@joy.org.au, all one word.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.